Colleagues, welcome back to the office and welcome to our podcast for today. This is Technology Planning in a Post-Pandemic World. The world we're living in is, I think we all can account for it in today's day and age, very different than the world that was, you know, in 2019 and before that. I think we've kind of entered into a new phase of business, a new phase of life that unfortunately, for better or worse, is going to be with us for the foreseeable future. For organizations that understand this, that just accept it for what it is, and that start to essentially embrace, I think not only can you find opportunities for success, you will be successful in navigating this new world and this current normal as we try to maybe think of it as today. Well, in today's podcast and presentation, what I want to talk through are some of the things that we might want to be considering with respect to our technology planning. I think that most organizations run on a cycle, and this is probably the beginning of a new cycle for a lot of our companies. And now that we're essentially in this current new normal, this new, you know, pandemic or maybe even post-pandemic world, we're starting to essentially maybe start to do some planning. We're at the beginning stages of that cycle. Now, in this discussion, we're going to be talking about some of the major technology components that we should be considering. You know, if we're going to have folks, for example, working remotely, working from home, what type of technologies would we might want to consider and incorporate into our technology structure and infrastructure for our organization. We're going to talk about some of the different approaches for managing these remote workers, type of technology that we can put in place to essentially more effectively manage and keep them productive, happy, and keeping our data safe and secure. We'll talk about some of the different needs and options to fit different types of organizations. The needs of a professional service firm are going to be different than the needs of, let's say, a manufacturing organization or a knowledge-based business or a software development company for that matter. And hopefully along the way, we'll find different opportunities to improve and plan for what might be around the corner the next time around. This is just going to be the first of our presentations. I think it's really kind of an interesting thing to think through what this world might be looking like in the foreseeable future. So in future episodes of this series, I think we really should talk about how we can really kind of expand our organizational focus to capture opportunities that might have otherwise been lost. And I think with COVID, there are new opportunities that maybe would not have existed if this had not have happened. I think we all wish we could go back to normal, but if we can't, how could we potentially embrace this to improve our organizations and to find that next big thing? Now, before we get started, I do want to remind you that as with all CPE Today podcasts, these are eligible for CPE credit. How cool is that? You can get a CPE credit for listening or watching to our presentation. As a reminder, we come to you live, at least we try to, twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m., and you can watch us on YouTube or Facebook. But we also are available on demand at cpetoday.com, as well as on the podcast platform of your choosing, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and more. And after watching, you can earn a credit by just taking a quick, short 5-question quiz and, you know, assessing what you learned today. And then after you take that quiz, you get a quick certificate, and you'll be well on your way to maintaining your professional licensing. Besides our podcast, we also have a range of other products and pretty much all topics that you might be interested in. We've tried to curate a list of all the things that we think are going to be helpful to make you at the top of your game. So if you're a certified public accountant, you're an enrolled agent, or some other professional, please consider checking out cpetoday.com. Our course code for today, if you go looking for our quiz, is TEP1. Now, today's presentation was recorded at a recent State Society conference. So we're going to go ahead and get started with that presentation. I will join you at the end of our discussion for 3 quick review questions and then to wrap up. Enjoy our presentation. So let's think about just kind of broadly, how has our technology environment changed, or are you relatively the same? You know, returning to normal, for example, would be like, hey, we're just going back to the way that we were doing business before. We're commuting, we're working according to a schedule, we're doing occasional things at home. We occasionally have group to face-to-face meetings. We're using existing technology products. However, some of you might be moving to what we're referring to as our new normal, you know, and this this particular instance, there's a lot of organizations that have decided that what's occurred in COVID and what's occurred during the pandemic time should be the way that their businesses should operate going forward. And so if that's the case, you know, that's new normal might be, for example, mostly being remote. It could be, for example, formalizing around working from home and working from wherever your home happens to be, and maybe even as far as getting rid of the office. You know, you still might occasionally drop by, but that might not be the primary place where you work these days. Focusing, for example, more on collaborative tools like Teams, Slack, and others. Implementing software as a solution tools for permanent distributed work, as well as looking at cloud resources that allow for that work to occur regardless of physical geographic location. And certainly all of this would require higher speed internet access. So what does technology planning mean to you? Well, on a people side of this, and we've got to think of it both in terms of a people side as well as a technology side, because really both of these things need to move lockstep with each other. On the people, are people aligned to our strategy and tactics? Are there process refinements that we need to take in order for our organization to be able to thrive? Do we need to implement change management to help people cope with these changes as we're pushing them out? How can we mitigate our risks, and how can we find newer staff to help us take our business where we're going to go? I'm sure most of you would agree that one of the hardest things that you can do inside of a business is finding good, quality, talented people to work with, and then investing in those people through training to make them thrive. On the tech side of this, for this new normal, we might need to think through, for example, different upgrades and replacements that we might need to go through. We might need to think through different technology pieces, whether they be cloud hosted or in our own data center or even in our own office. But how are we going to be able to facilitate this technology to allow for people outside of the office? What technology stacks do we need to think through? We personally think, and I'm using the collective we here for K2, you know, between the major technology stacks in the profession, you know, you've got your choices between Intuit, CCH, and Thomson. And more broadly speaking, with respect to business productivity, it's probably a Microsoft, Google, or Zoho conversation. How can we define and better refine our processes for with respect to dealing with our documents and dealing with your papers? Okay. And all of this, how can we ensure that there is better security in place inside of our organizations? Now, how do we align our strategy and how do we align our tactics? Okay. Well, for strategy, we need to think about growth, profitability, client satisfaction, keeping our team members satisfied, as well as innovation. These are going to be the general pieces that at least I think through when I'm trying to develop the strategy of whatever we're trying to do. You know, how can we continue to grow our organization? How can we continue to increase our profit and financial obligations? How can we make people happier, both internally and externally? And how can we innovate? I personally am a big fan that investing in innovation is a good and successful thing for an organization, because it helps kind of push you beyond the scope of your competitors. And innovation is never a bad thing. You know, if you can find new ways of improving your organizations that, you know, frankly, your competitors aren't doing, that's a compelling reason to work with your organization. Well, how do we facilitate the strategy? Well, we do this through these tactics. How do we figure out our sales and marketing, our products, our service, our culture, and our technology are all going to be facilitations of that overall strategy that we put inside of our organizations. So, a question you should be asking yourself, okay, does technology align with your mission, your vision, your goals, and your strategic plan and your tactical business plan? Your tech plan should fit with these needs, whether they are simple or complex. And technology is an integral component of achieving these objectives. It can either make it really easy or it can make it an absolute nightmare. But if you don't make technology a core consideration of your business plan, you're going to be in for a rude awakening once you actually start getting into the heat of this. Tech is a force multiplier. Good, effective technology inside of an organization allows for revenue to go like this and cost to go like this. In the products and solutions that I build for my company as well as for our clients, our ultimate goal is to be able to create a system that allows you to be able to do more with less. It allows for an organization to be able to expand where they can essentially bring on more business, bring on more work, but cost doesn't flow at the same rate. if you think about bad technology plan, where you have massive inefficiencies inside of an organization, every time you add a client, imagine having to add additional staff and capacity. I mean, at certain points you want to be able to do that, but imagine having to do that at every single level. You'd never make money. You know, you'd grow and grow and grow, but your profitability would never increase. Ideally, that technology planning should align with your growth, your mission, your objectives, your vision, so that essentially you can be able to scale your business very effectively. Okay, let's go ahead and have our first polling question. So go ahead and respond here. Okay, so this might sound a little bit crass, but what I will say is that while priorities are personal, creating a plan should be something that is measured in money. You know, obviously priorities and success is not a solely financial thing, but when we think about business value, the easiest thing to come back to is value to the organization at different levels. You know, we should think about not only the financial objectives, but the societal objectives and the environmental objectives, you know, that triple bottom line with respect to our company and the approach that we're going to take. And we should be thinking very broadly about the different objectives, whether they be financial or otherwise, to make our companies successful. Now, there are 8 different factors that make a good business plan. Okay, it should fit the needs of the business. So it should do what we actually need it to do. It should be realistic so that it can be implemented. You know, I've worked with organizations before that, you know, are this big and they think they're going to grow to compete with Microsoft. And while that might occur, you know, let's talk about that in 20 or 30 years to see what's going to happen there. I mean, create realistic objectives in terms of what you're trying to do. Business planning is really effective when it's specific, when you could track your results against it. I like to get as specific as I can, not necessarily super granular down to the actual minutia, but rather, you know, focus on specific objectives that we can accomplish with the business, because that's going to help make it realistic and help make it be implementable inside of the organization. It should clearly define responsibilities, who's going to do what and when they are going to do it. It should clearly identify whatever assumptions you're going to make, whether they be growth, cost, compliance, or otherwise. It should be communicated to the people who have to run it, and preferably they should be involved from day one in terms of writing it. In our organization, you know, we have different parts of the company that are focusing on different things. You know, granted, my partner and I try to make assumptions with respect to generally where we're going to go and how we're going to get there, but we try to bring in people on the ground floor who are used to working in this particular field and work with those particular clients or products so that we can get realistic feedback and realistic insight with respect to how that division operates. Now, involving people helps them get committed. They feel buy-off. They're not being told what to do, but they feel like they're being part of the actual process to make it happen. And you keep it alive by following up, refining it, and starting it over again. Business planning is not a destination, but rather a journey, and it is a process that is a loop. Once you get to the end of it, you go ahead and you start again. Now, we have key elements in this business plan that should be present to make this plan actually useful and effective. A clear description of whatever we're doing, whether they be focusing on products or services, our market and what our competition looks like, our unique selling proposition or our USPs, or sometimes called competitive advantages, what makes us work different. I would say for a business, a technology absolutely can be a competitive advantage. Technology is something that no matter where you are in the lifespan of a company, it helps reset the clock and can help take a company from here to here if their compelling technology is strong enough. Good examples of this are surrounded by you all the time of the most successful companies out there. A good example that I like to think of is Apple. You know, when I was in high school, Apple was trading below $10 a share. Fast forward 25 years later, you know, they are the most, by market capitalization, the highest valued company in the world. And it's incredible with just the span of 25 years and the companies they beat out. I mean, they weren't the first people to come up with the smartphone. You know, you could arguably say it was Handspring or Palm or even Microsoft for that matter with their other tools, and certainly Research in Motion with their BlackBerry products. But yet, You know, when Apple came out with the iPhone, it completely revolutionized what people were expecting a phone to be able to do. And they reset that through that competitive advantage of having really compelling technology. You should identify where and how technology can be used, because it often will be less expensive than many other aspects of growing your business. And try to solicit feedback that you can obtain throughout this process to make this process work more effectively for you. So, think through your business plan. This business plan should have goals. It should have a roadmap. It should make good documentation about assumptions you're making. It should set expectations of how you're going to get there. It should help you bring awareness of the competition, find accountability, get people involved, and ultimately set a foundation for future growth and success. Now, that's a business plan. Let's talk about a technology plan. Technology plan will flow from a good business plan. You write your business plan first, then you write your technology plan thereafter, and one hand washes the other. Because you might find with, for example, in your technology plan, there might be other opportunities that you can use for improving your business and making that technology a core competitive advantage. So technology planning bridges the vision, mission, business, and other technology domains. You know, we have our technology evaluations over here. We have our business goals and objectives. Business goals and objectives drive our technology, and our technology informs our business goals and objectives. And again, it's about that process, about repeating this from start to finish and continuing to refine our organization to meet those objectives. Now, one of the cool things about technology planning is that technology will generally follow a pretty common and repeatable life cycle for the organization, you know, and I'm going to show you a couple of different charts here that might be really helpful. But generally, we, for example, have this new technology where it's very low in terms of performance, but offers a tremendous amount of value. Okay. As we start to use this technology and people get used to it and we start to see improvement, what do we see? We see growth and we see increased performance inside of this. You know, if you buy anything off the shelf, let's take, for example, your public accounting practice and you switch tax software from, let's say, Lacerte to UltraTax or something else, you know, there's always going to be this period of like flux where we don't know what the heck we're doing. We're not as efficient as we were in the old application. You know why? It's because we don't know how to use it. It takes time, you know, but as we put more resources into this, we will start to see better performance. And as that application grows in utilization, we start to see it grow up and it becomes more efficient. Now, eventually we'll start to come to some capacity limitations where there might be, for example, a limit of how far we can take this. And eventually, you know, that application might diminish. You know, the new shiny thing is no longer new and shiny any longer. So new technology has not reached the first tipping point in the S curve. It takes improvement. It takes emerging technology. It takes investment of time and resources to be able to get to that tipping point where basically it makes sense and you start getting that ROI. Now, at the same time, not continuing to invest in technology, not continuing to improve upon this will ultimately lead to that decreased performance. And you're just going to repeat this over and over again. So we have this paradigm, adapt, buy, or create. What do you want to do for your business? You know, it's like beg, borrow, or steal, you know? So do you want to adapt something? Do you want to buy something? Do you want to create something? Okay. Now, it depends on what you're looking to do and what the end goal of your business. In the adapt strategy, it might seem obvious, but you take technology, you evaluate it, you make modifications, and you adapt it to meet the specific needs of the organization. Okay. When you buy capacity and you buy this, you're essentially buying it from a vendor. You might be buying a whole company for their intellectual property. Acquisitions, for example, private equity does this all the time, where some company has some sort of competitive advantage. They've come up with a new process or technique, and rather than try to compete, it's just cheaper to buy. You know, a good example of this, the first one that comes to mind is Facebook did not come up with Instagram. They bought Instagram. They bought Instagram for something like, I want to say it was like $6 to $10 billion, something crazy. You know, you'd think for a company that large at the time with probably tens of thousands of employees, why did they buy it? Well, it was still cheaper than trying to build it. Now, your last option is to create it. It's the least preferred option, but in my opinion, it's the best option. It's the least preferred option because it's typically the most risky. You're putting your own capital out there to go and buy something. I like it because you get complete control over whatever you're creating. And if you create it, you own it. Okay. In our company, we focus a lot on creating intellectual property. That's essentially all we do. We code, we build software, we build applications, whether they be for us or for other people. But when you build your own technology and you build your own competitive advantages, you're not beholden to anybody. And there's value independent of whatever revenue gets generated by this. You know, in our organization, for example, we build a lot of tech for other companies that allows them to be able to eat their own dog food rather than be beholden to a vendor that may or may not change organizational priorities in the future. They own their technology and they have mastery over their domain. They could choose to sell it also in the future. If you're using other people's tech, there's no value there. You know, like there's no value, for example, in me using Office 365. I love it. It makes sense for our organization, but nobody is ever going to buy your company just because you use Office 365. Now, there's two charts that might be really helpful, kind of illustrating technology curves. We have the Gartner hype cycle, and we also have the Rogers bell curve. The hype cycle talks about emerging technology, and it talks about the life cycle of what it takes to bring something to market. We have our innovation trigger, which is kind of like the idea that comes to mind. There's a period of time where everybody is just talking about it. You know, a good example of this would be artificial intelligence or self-driving cars or blockchain or cryptocurrency, you know, and then everybody stops talking about it for a bit. We call that the trough of disillusionment. But if it's a successful product, it actually enters into what we call the plateau of productivity. And although that sounds kind of crass, you know, and like, oh, it's plateau. I mean, how good could it be if it's not advancing? That means it's adopted. A good example of this would be smart home assistants like Alexa or Siri or others like that. You know, they're definitely in the plateau of productivity in the sense that there's not new stuff coming out every single day. Well, that's because the market's already saturated, and that gives you an idea of how successful that particular product might be. Now, on the Rogers bell curve, this looks at standard deviations in terms of where things end and where things begin. You know, I would say most of us want to be somewhere right here in the middle. You don't necessarily want to be early to the party. You don't also want to be late to the party. You know, but some organizations thrive on being on the bleeding edge, and that's where those innovators come. You know, there's that economics term of first mover advantage. You know, there's a reason why Uber and Lyft absolutely dominate the transportation market, or why VBRO and Airbnb dominate the short-term rental market. They're the innovators in this. They're the ones that are movers and shakers. Traditionally, accounting firms have probably been more towards this side of the curve on the late majority or even laggards. And that's because there hasn't been a lot of innovation that has been easily adaptable. And also, I think generally the profession tends to be a little bit more risk adverse. However, I think there is benefit for organizations advancing other initiatives like advisory services that are finding new opportunities to be engaged with their organizations and clients through technology services that are going to help them grow where I think more traditional firms would not. So here's an example from using that Gartner hype cycle framework from CPA.com showing the accounting profession mega trends for 2020. Okay, so stuff that we've got down here kind of in our innovation trigger: augmented intelligence, quantum computing, smart robots, Internet of Things. Everybody's talking about smart contracts right now, which is a blockchain technology, and for good reason. You know, and then down further, we've got, for example, in our trough of disillusionment, robotic process automation, blockchain, crypto assets, so on and so forth. You know, if we kind of look out here towards our plateau of productivity, what you'll end up seeing is that technologies that are very widely adopted at this point. Integrated software is a solution, optical character recognition for forms, and certainly cloud computing at this point is not anything new. Most of us are deeply utilizing and integrating that inside of our organization. Now, there are certain benefits, for example, that can come in for the innovators that choose to move advantage. Again, that first mover advantage gives you the opportunity to build market share before other people can. Okay. So with respect to this, you know, it's a very small percentage of those that are actually at the bleeding edge. I like to think that our firm is, you know, and what our organization does. We're always trying to find new opportunities because not everything is going to work out, but, you know, just kind of like, I only need one, you know, I only need one thing to actually work out, you know, and then it can matriculate into other aspects of the organization. So regardless of where you are with this, you know, there's benefit to be gained. There's new clients to be gained. There's new value services to be gained across the board. And so if we look at this, you know, kind of at the journey to some of these advanced capabilities, you know, if we consider this things, from example, that are kind of low value, data ingestion, RPA is kind of a newer thing. If we look at this, you know, in terms of our value chain going up, let's say for business intelligence, you know, just getting data doesn't really get us that far. RPA helps in terms of migration and implementation across the different services that we might be using. You know, we might, for example, do some basic data analytics, but that doesn't answer the question of why. And it doesn't help us, for example, grow beyond kind of the initial data analysis side of this. But as we start to advance and look at more, let's say, difficult technology initiatives, things like machine learning, artificial intelligence, intelligence augmentation, you know, we start to see that the value for this can really improve the organizations. And if we look at large organizations, Walmart, AWS, McDonald's, Safeway, Kroger's, I mean, they're absolutely going beyond just basic spreadsheets. You know, they've essentially created this whole value chain all the way from the capturing of the data all the way up to the tippy top, where they're actually using services to process this to find really useful information to make better decisions about their business going forward. So what are some best practices with respect to our technology plans? Well, first I would tell you to evaluate the environment and find innovative uses for technology. Find different ways of doing things that other people aren't doing currently. I always love finding innovative ways. You know, I've done so many different things over the years, you know, for example, around automation, around building new software applications to assist with in allowing firms to be able to take on additional work, or for example, utilizing tech like optical character recognition to automate, for example, the onboarding of client documents into a system or something else like that. But finding new innovative ways can really help your organization. You don't have to think of the next Uber or think of the next Lyft, but just look at the tech that you have available, look at the stuff that's on the market, and find ways of adapting it to meet the needs of your organization. You should define some different results of what you're looking for. Identify the core technologies needed to meet what that vision is. And it might be, for example, you know, cloud-based hosting, it might be blockchain, it might be artificial intelligence, it might be machine learning. Okay, if you can just identify the big categories of this, then you'll figure out some ways to make it work. Some stuff, for example, you know, it might be a great idea, but it's just not something you can do right now. You know, it might be, for example, something that requires a technology that hasn't been invented yet. I was watching this really interesting interview with James Cameron, the director, and they were asking him when he was going to do the next Avatar. And he said, I'd love to do the next Avatar. It's just the VFX, the visual effects technology, isn't where I need it to be. You know, let's talk in 5 to 10 years. You know, he's got the vision. It's just that there are some technologies that he's looking to use that just don't exist yet. Okay, it's identify the feedback to be able to measure our progress. Assess the current state of the organization to know where we are, and that gives us a roadmap for where we should go. Develop tactical plans with those measurable goals to ultimately implement that technology. Vision and strategy are great. Tactical plans are where rubber meets the roads and how you actually implement it. This is what I spend more time doing than anything else. I come up with a lot of visions and ideas with my business partner, but we spend as much time, if not more time, figuring out how to actually make those tactical plans actually occur, you know, because there's a lot of people who will give orders, a lot of chiefs. We need more Indians. We need to focus on, for example, actually facilitating change and implementing it inside of our organization. And from that tactical plan, we build our roadmap. We figure out all the necessary components like life cycle, timelines, budgets. We work on focusing on educating the organization and its stakeholders on its plan and how it's going to be implemented. I spend a lot of time, for example, helping get people on the same page, helping them get involved, helping them feel invested with the project that we're working on so that they will facilitate and make this a reality in their company. And then ultimately implementing it, reviewing it, following up, fine-tuning it, and resolving whatever issues are needed. Now, there are some tips I've got for you. There are complex stuff, and then there is simple stuff. Okay. Now, for simple stuff, you could just sit down. It's not like every project requires a, you know, 200-page RFP and a scope and everything else like that. But I will tell you there is benefit in the tactical way of actually writing a plan. And what I mean by this is that often with a lot of planning, it's about the conversation, and it's about the process rather than the actual end document that you end up with. The end document is representative of that journey along the way, in the same way that a photo book is representative of a journey that you took. The journey is what the thing you actually want to go on with this. So not everything requires a massive undertaking and a massive plan, but I will tell you that with regardless of the solution that you're working towards, writing down and the actual process of having these conversations is what you should use. Okay. So if it's something simple, take a look at, for example, the existing products, consider new initiatives, list the different areas, list the issues that you need to resolve. Those could be budgetary, timeline. They could be client priorities. They could be training. Okay. The technology is often the easiest piece of this. You know, if I look at any project that I work on software development side of this, the tech is usually pretty straightforward. It's adapting the business to meet the needs of the technology. And that could be, for example, facilitating change at a very high level in terms of what they view their business as and what they do on a day-to-day basis. And it could be something like working through the politics of an organization. Unfortunately, politics are a real thing, and to say they don't exist in a company, I feel is a very short-sighted response. Ultimately, build a budget and get whatever you need to get in. You know, for more complex stuff, you know, if it's, for example, implementing SAP, okay, SAP is a very large accounting and ERP solution. From my experience, you know, it's best measuring the return on investment for like a SAP style or Microsoft AX or something like that in decades rather than years, because it takes so long to implement. And you're better off, for example, working with people who know what they're doing. Use consultants for ideas and that have essential experience with implementing whatever that complex plan might be. Think through issues around data governance and data management and change management. Think about scalability, you know, figure out how. To do this and figure out how you're actually going to migrate this. Often there's historical data that has to be implemented as a component of one of these larger plans. And certainly don't wait to the very end, but consider the vulnerabilities of whatever solution you're using and try to resolve those before those issues become major roadblocks. Now, some top issues that might pop up for simple projects, you know, it's going to be stuff like, you know, licensing. You know, I've worked with organizations before that have gone through an entire plan, but they didn't, you know, for example, take into account the number of licenses that they would need. So what do they end up doing? They end up short cutting that step, end up not buying as enough licenses. And that causes issues. You know, it could be, for example, now you've got people sharing accounts. It could be, for example, that you have, and with people sharing accounts, the reason that's an issue is that that presents a material problem for security for the organization. And it could also be putting the organization at risk with respect to compliance with whatever vendors they're working with. A good example of this is Microsoft. Microsoft is very serious about their licensing. And if your organization doesn't purchase a sufficient number of licenses based off of actual utilization, they absolutely will take you to town to get that resolved, all the way up to and including litigation if required. Shortcutting security is often an issue I see a lot with small businesses. A good example of this is not building out the correct permissions based off of the roles of the individuals doing the work. You know, they, for example, will just kind of give the same level of permissions, whether you're the intern or the CEO. And that presents a security risk because you ideally want to give people enough permissions for what they're doing, no more, no less. Give them enough rope to work, not enough rope to hang themselves. Same, likewise, insufficient resources, owners unwilling to spend. This has happened many times. You know, they've got champagne taste, but they're on a beer Budweiser budget. That can be really difficult when somebody's asking you to build something that costs, you know, $500,000, but they want to spend $10,000 on it. I mean, one or the other, you know. Likewise, also with timing on this. Typically, you'll get into a big technology plan and project. You are going to accomplish this much, but then you realize, holy smokes, we forgot about payroll. We forgot about HR. We forgot about whatever, you know, and then you need to take that extra work on. Well, they're not willing to, for example, add the additional budget to account for those changes or extend deadlines to account for the fact that there's more work to be done. Too many projects at once. I can tell you that too many organizational initiatives will burn people out. And I've learned this the hard way. If you change too many things, people get burned out and they just kind of give up, you know? And so we don't really want that. We want people engaged at every step of this project. And at every step of this project, we want to feel that they're getting value. So I focus on, for example, get quick wins, get the stuff that's a low-hanging fruit that allows to add a tremendous amount of value, but without a lot of work, and then focus on the bigger long-term projects once you have the hearts and minds of people. Lack of skills of contractors, not having everybody on board. Tone at the top is real. You know, for organizational technology initiatives, you're going to have people that just don't like change. You know, and not having everybody on board can be really detrimental to the project. Not having a key executive on board can kill a project. I have worked on in my life, I'm going to say close to $5 million worth of IT projects, software development projects that have taken years that have died before they ever saw the light of day. And a lot of it has come from these things listed here, you know, where they didn't have enough people, didn't have the right resources, didn't have everybody on board. But nothing will kill a project faster than not having executive buy-off. Complex planning issues, subscriptions not in use, insufficient security around this, projects partially implemented. I will take a less savvy project that is fully implemented than a really savvy, highly technical project that's only partially implemented. Budget too small, initiative spread over a way too long of a time period, too high of complexity, politics, all of these are applicable to any project. Let's go ahead and have our second review question. Okay, so I've got some resources here that we're not going to go crazy in depth on. I'm just mostly going to point them out to you that you can take a look at as part of the sample materials here. And we've got some examples, for example, of larger plans as well as bigger plans. You know, it might be, for example, fix network issues, fix up and fine tune our Microsoft licensing agreement, implement a new ERP solution. But some of the big things that you might want to think of is priority, so order. What are the major objectives of whatever you're trying to achieve? What is the time period? What is the dollar? When is your target date for getting that milestone achieved? What type of project is this? An application, infrastructure, or more? And so we can also do short-term actions as well. Not everything has to be, again, a 200-page RFP. Some of these can be a little bit smaller, you know, and some things might be days, weeks, or months. These are going to be the things you're going to want to focus on as quick as you can. You know, the $100, $1,000 projects rather than the hundreds of thousands of dollars and million-dollar projects. And some of them might just be training. Some of them might be implementing policy. But any of those can be really effective and useful for your organization. So on the technology plan of this, definitely check this out. We've got some examples, for example, of mapping our needs, you know, what to think about in our client experience, what to think about in our vendor experience, internal experience, and more. Let's talk about some strategic choices that we might choose to use. Okay, as we're looking through our technology strategic planning, a couple big solutions are going to be, you know, do we build it our own or do we go with a vendor and utilize their tech? You know, I personally, again, think you build it on your own. That builds capacity, that builds the ability to be able to modify it to really kind of fit the needs of the organization. So if you build it on your own, where are you going to host it? There are a lot of organizations that you can consider. There are hosting companies, there are managed service companies, there are public cloud companies. AWS and Azure are good examples. Azure is a Microsoft's cloud product. In my opinion, right here, this is where you would want to go. That way you get 100% control over your product. Now, if you're not at a size and scale that makes that reasonable for your organization, you might want to consider rather a vendor or a silo or a platform to choose. Some examples of this on the desktop productivity side would be like Microsoft 365, Zoho, and Google. Or if we're working in a tax and accounting practice, it might be one of the major tax and accounting applications like CCH, Thomson, or Intuit. We could also kind of cobble together a solution too, where we use digital plumbing tools. For example, it might be something like QuickBooks Online, Lisco, or Accountants World. And we could use tools like CData, Zapier, as well as Open Systems products. Now, when we create these different silos of information, you know, previously it was very difficult to be able to manage this because kind of each silo was on its own. The good news is now that it's become a lot easier using things like federated services and cloud-based technologies like these digital plumbing tools to facilitate data being transferred from one to the other. So we can build a very robust system that actually seems like a pretty tightly integrated solution for what you might choose to use. So any of these providers would be ones to work with, but the big piece of it that I would tell you to think through would be how do you tie together these different providers, okay? So on the large business side of this, there are a number of solutions that you might want to consider. You know, for example, Azure or AWS are definitely two of the ones that I would consider. There are tools from Microsoft as well. For example, Power Automate is a great digital plumbing tool that allows you to bring these different solutions together. And Google even has their own brand as well. You might want to build it as part of your ERP solution. You know, whether you're using a solution like a Microsoft platform like Microsoft AX, Nav, GP, or maybe it is Salesforce, or maybe it is Open Systems Transverse product or something like that. You can extend the features and functions of that kind of middleware component to include other tools as well. Now, on the small business side, a lot of the same tools are available to you. Other smaller business tools would be things like QuickBooks. You know, QuickBooks Online and Xero have a whole wealth of additional opportunities and tools through their marketplace. QBO, for example, has an entire listing of additional tools that will tie right into the accounting solution through their app store. Let's take a look at that. So there are a ton of different apps you can consider to utilize. If you just do a quick search, QBO Marketplace, you can kind of take a look at some of these different tools that extend and integrate and kind of break apart just that one silo of data. It might be tools like Expensify, one of my absolute favorite tools for employee expense tracking. It might be a solution, for example, like Float, which is a really cool tool for cash flow forecasting and understanding, you know, AP and AR in the context of trying to predict what our future cash flow might be. And they've got tools outside of accounting as well. You know, they've got tools, for example, in project management. So they've got tools like BigTime, Jobber, BQE, which is a fantastic time and billing and project management solution for professional service firms, which take care of the integration piece of this so that we don't even have to think about it. It integrates it at a very, very deep level so that all we really have to do is focus on work. All you have to do to utilize this is go ahead and click this Get App Now. It plugs it directly into your QuickBooks solution and all the work is done for you. You don't really have to spend any of the technology time in terms of pulling it together. So I think that is a very effective way with respect to managing some of these big strategic choices is to focus on either a suite that works relatively well and you're willing to make the sacrifice of choosing a best of breed application. So instead, it just kind of integrates everything around one common set of tools, or you choose best of breed. And then with that best of breed, you essentially focus on the integration between there. Now, regardless of what you end up choosing, you have a lot of options, whether they be hosting providers, for example, such as AWS, Azure, Rackspace, and more, or if you choose to go with a total managed service provider, such as Abacus Next, Ace, Centrum, Bright Networks, and others, they'll take care of it for you. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a look at some of the potential additional items that we might want to think through with respect to our plan. Okay. So on the people side of this, we want to recruit good, talented people to execute our business plans effectively. We want to, for example, invest in those people, improve their skill change. We want to help them embrace change. We don't want to provide things in a breakneck pace, but we also want them to understand that things are not going to stay the same forever, that there are updates and upgrades and improvements. And we want them to be committed to ongoing business development. So how do we do this? Well, some tactics for this. Hire from competitors. You know, if you can't make it, steal it. Okay, continuously train. This is something, unfortunately, not enough people do. I can tell you in our business, we train constantly. We cross-train with people so that somebody, when they go on vacation, they can actually go on vacation, that they're not having to answer phone calls because people don't know how to do what they need to do because Steve is the one who took care of it. Training is, in my opinion, one of the most underappreciated things that you could do as a business that you will yield the largest amount of value. Collaboration and working together. For our company, we do pair programming. You know, we don't hire a position, we hire two positions at a time. So if we need a front-end developer, we hire two. We hire as a team so they can review each other's work and build skills and capacity in each other. We also have what's called a stand-up meeting, a discovery meeting, where we talk about what we're working on. It doesn't have to be long. It's only usually about a half hour or so, and it's within individual pods of people. So business people get together, development people get together, and they share ideas with each other. Procedures. Okay, continuous improvement. Operate error-free. You know, try to go to that Six Sigma, you know, where you're trying to reduce errors in every possibility. Optimize your processes. Reduce your manual processes whenever possible. And invest in automation. Leverage the systems you already have. Not everything should be automated. However, if it's something that will yield value, if you've done the ROI calculation and you think it's going to add value, absolutely, you should automate that. That will save you a tremendous amount of time. But if it's something that is better off being done by a human, let a human do it. I live and work in the state of California. Labor is really expensive. We make an effort to invest in automation as much as we can. And when we can't invest in automation, we try to hire the best possible people we can. But we try to figure out what's the cost of building out this automation versus dollar of payroll. And if it's something, for example, if we can build a solution that will do that in less than about 3 months of payroll, you know, then it's a no-brainer. We just do it. If it's beyond 3 months, that's when we start trying to figure out capacity and maybe if a person would be a better solution rather than just investing in technology. So how do we do this? We review processes regularly. We perform post-mortems, very important on projects. We get people together. We talk about what went well, what didn't go well, what can be improved in the future. I can tell you that every time that I do a podcast, every time I do one of my classes, I keep notes, you know, about what I liked, what I didn't like, what made sense, what didn't make sense, and I review it and I adjust it. Likewise, when I'm using automation, I've showed this a few times now, but this is my Stream Deck. This is my hotkey keyboard. This sits right next to my keyboard, and this operates so many of the things that I use on a regular basis that I can just do with a single button press. Well, every time I'm running those, I make time to make sure that it runs the way I want. And if not, I go back and I adjust the program so that when I hit the button, it does exactly what I want it to do. Apply the principles of Six Sigma and invest in automation wherever it makes sense. On the data side of this, reduce your data sprawl. You know, don't have data in as many systems as possible. Try to consolidate and condense data into a couple of databases rather than just kind of let it matriculate all over the organization. You know, there are techniques, for example, data warehousing, as well as data lakes that can be really helpful for reporting purposes to bring things in. Implement real-time reporting, continuous backup, analytics, learn from your data. Focus on tools and techniques that allow you to collaborate as well. Well, how can you do this? Well, you can combine and reduce. In our organization, we've got a common technology stack of what we work on. Everything is based in Linux. So we use Ubuntu, we use Nginx for our web server, and we use MariaDB, which is an open source version of MySQL. Well, that allows us to essentially always have the same stack. It makes upgrades and updates much easier to apply. We implement tools such as Microsoft Power BI. We've implemented backup across the organization as much as we possibly can. Okay, just a couple more. On the hardware side of this, standardization is your friend. Okay, as much as possible, standardize around a common technology solution. In our company, we use Lenovo for our ThinkPads for our mobile desktops, and then we use HP for any of our other physical hardware, including printers that we buy. But it makes maintenance on this really easily, and we have a support contract that makes it pretty easy with respect to getting support for our staff. And as much as possible, reduce maintenance as well. Okay, a question came in here. Steve, what are the top few time-saving, efficiency-improving technologies you've come across for CPA firms? We'd love to get your thoughts on this. Mark, great question. With respect to this, what I would tell you in terms of some of the best technologies are really kind of in these slides right here. You know, standardization, automation, terms, and techniques that essentially allow you to combine and consolidate your work into a couple of platforms. But finding your method and sticking to your method and not making exceptions for your method is what you're going to want to do. For us, our method is Amazon Web Services for everything across the board. That's the only thing we work with now. Microsoft 365 for everything across the board. And our standard technology, like I said, with MariaDB for our database technology, Microsoft Power BI for reporting, so on and so forth. But what's great about that is that it allows us to gain economies of scale. It allows us to gain negotiating power against our vendors for what we're working with. Even though we're still very tiny, that does help. And more importantly, it helps with cross-training with different people inside of our company. If I had to pick some top technologies, definitely 365, definitely AWS. My latest and greatest that I absolutely love, and we bought them for every single person in our company, are these Stream Decks that are hot button keys that you can press to do automation inside of your computer. Like, for example, I have buttons that just instantly do the correct billing for a particular project that save me sometimes 5 to 10 clicks or even more. But I would tell you the best thing you could possibly have, Mark, is having an open mind and looking for opportunities to improve your practice. I'll give you my contact information here in a minute if you'd ever like to reach out and talk further. All right, to finish this slide, and one more. Reducing the maintenance, reducing any single points of failure, try to build in redundancy where it makes sense. Bring in technology that makes sense for the organization. And don't be afraid to invest where you need to invest and build capacity where you need to build capacity. So lots of different considerations, whether they be security, whether they be hardware, whether they be software based, there's lots of different things that you're going to need to consider with respect to your organizations as you build your plans. The best thing I could tell you is first align your technology plans with whatever your business mission statement, vision, and goals are. And if you don't know what your vision and goals are, take the time to think through it. My business partner and I, we make it a point to get together in person at least twice, if not three times a year. And the partners at K2 do the same thing. They get together 2 to 3 times a year and we talk through, what are we doing? How are we going to get there? What are our clients that we're going to need to be able to get to that position? And we think about our mission. And technology kind of flows from that. If we want to build something, we build it, but it has to be mission-driven for whatever we're doing. Technology budgets can drive technology plans in small firms. Don't feel like you need to spend a bazillion dollars to achieve something. You can think money first, although I would tell you, don't bring money into it as the first potential thing. figure out what you want to do, and then figure out a way to implement it. And if it needs to be done over a period of time to amortize the cost, so be it. With whatever technology plans you do, absolutely invest in monitoring, evaluating, and having a thoughtful process to be able to think about what you're doing and then improve other things in the future. I mean, the way things are at the moment doesn't mean the way they're going to be forever. And if you can find a way to monitor what you're doing and then refine what you're doing, the next project you'll be will be that much better. Training, support, security, often overlooked, but please don't overlook these things. You can never have enough of any of them. When you think you've done enough training, go ahead and do some more. Likewise with security. Once you get to the end of this process, it just starts back over again. Colleagues, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our podcast and presentation for today. Let's go ahead and have three quick review questions, then we'll go ahead and wrap up. Our first review question: which of the following statements is true for technology planning? Is it change management is not part of the process? Okay, that could be it. Okay. Is it both people and technology must be considered? Okay. Is it technology stacks are not a consideration? Interesting. Is it security is not part of the technology plan? Okay, well, the correct answer here is change management is not part of the process. It's a separate process and separate skill and capability. It certainly is an important process, but it's not necessarily incorporated directly into the technology planning. It's more focused on people, technology, and the specifics that you're going to use, applications, platforms, and things like that. Let's have our second review question. Which of the following is not an attribute of an effective plan? Is it clear description of the product or cycle? Okay, no, I think I'm probably going to need that there. Is it your unique selling proposition? I think that might be something we might need as well. Is it technology and strategies that are required? Yeah, we're certainly going to want to know what we're doing here. The correct answer here is background and information about the company. Okay, so that stuff is nice. It's helpful, but it's kind of fluff in general. When we're trying to create an effective plan, we really want to know what we're doing, the service. We want to know what the proposition is going to be, the specific technology, and the way that we're going to accomplish that. Our third review question: which of the following statements is true for technology plans? Okay, there should be a budget. Absolutely, there should be a budget. You should always at least have a general idea and a working budget of what you are expecting to spend, or you know, you're never going to hit your target. Technology and technology strategic and tactical plans should align with the business plans. Absolutely. You should definitely have plans that line up with what the business is trying to do, and technology can be a great way of facilitating that. There should always be a process to evaluate alternatives. Absolutely. You should always be able to evaluate different ways of doing things and picking the correct process based off of where the company is currently. The correct answer here is all of the above. Well, that does bring us to the end of our presentation. Today, we kind of discussed technology planning in this post-COVID world, current COVID world. Who the heck knows where we're going to be with this, both now and in the future. And we talked, what are some of the different plans that we can do, looking at people, technologies, strategies, and other metrics that we can use to find success. We talked about budgeting, we talked about the processes, we talked about monitoring, finding different ways of determining when a plan can be successful, and determining when maybe things didn't go the way they should go and how we can improve in the future. Now, I do want to remind you that our podcast is eligible for CPE credit. So if you'd like today's class, you'd like to get a credit for listening, you can do so by just heading on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code TEP1, take a short 5-question quiz, and you'll earn a credit for today's class. Besides our podcast, again, we've got topics and classes and podcasts on a wide range of topics, everything you need to know to stay effective and on top of your game. If you enjoy our content, please consider connecting with us on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and more. Just find us at CPE Today. And as always, you can listen to our podcast on your own schedule. If you can't catch us live, consider subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and others, wherever you happen to get your content. And you'll always be notified when the latest edition of the class is out. Thank you so much for your time and attention today. Wishing you the absolute best, and I'll see you back in the office the next time around.